Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Saturdays podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Father, we thank you and we invite you to do whatever you want to do in our lives. want it to be full of you. You fill us up till we overflow. Second, and just allow the Lord to speak to you about you, to shift those things in your heart that need shifted. Just open up your hearts and let Him in for a moment. So, Father, we thank you that you're changing our perspectives to see how you see. We're so grateful for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
While we were singing, a verse came to me, and it's been a while since I read through Jeremiah, and I had to look it up to get it correct. But I thought anything we get from the Lord is just not for ourselves, so since we're here, I thought I'd read it. It comes from Jeremiah 33:3, and it should probably be a scripture verse that everybody should put in remembrance. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time, while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, "Thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know." I would say that I have seen several things happen in my life that I did not plan for, and they were greater than I would have thought of. So this verse has become real to me, and like I said, it came to me and I thought I would share it with the congregation.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, welcome everyone. Thanks for coming out. It's good to see everybody. Just one quick announcement. Next week's a big week for us. We have a special guest speaker and a meal after the meeting. And then also plan to stick around for an afternoon prayer walk, prayer drive, prayer time. Laura's going to come by and lead us in that. She had come by as a guest speaker last month, and she's the lady that's been prayer walking this community for years before we even showed up. So that should be a good time. And like I said, does anybody know they're going to be here for that? Just planning ahead. All right, awesome.
I think it'll be like an hour walk, you think?
I think she could do it for like a year.
Like a year?
Yeah, so yeah. you just do what you want to do, okay? All right, you just say, "Hey, I'm breaking off."
No, good.
What time's kickoff next week, right? I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know.
Yeah,
I don't even know.
Who doesn't walk to, we can just have prayer.
Right. You can prayer bike, prayer ride your horse, whatever you want to do.
Bring your dog.
Yeah. Bring your hot rod and prayer hot rod. That's fine.
Maybe we'll mush.
We'll mush. Good plan.
Oh, yeah.
Just a reminder, the offering's in the back. If you have something that you brought, I want to pray over that. So just hold it in your hand. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sow into what you're doing. Father, we just pray that you would multiply it so that we could bring about an awesome harvest. And just like we sang, Lord, you see, when we see a seed, you see the harvest. So you see it for what it will become. And we thank you for that, Lord. So we just pray that you would bless the giver, that you would align their finances to have everything they need to walk out who you called them to be on the earth. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. So I spent a little time editing video this week. We are trying to get a live feed going. It's kind of in process. And one of the things that I did was I took a lot of the video that we used when we were shut during quarantine, kind of reformed it, edited it a little bit, and now we have a Well Church Satterton YouTube page. So if you want to check that out, there's probably like, I want to say like 8 videos. Some of them are whole services. Some of them are just worship. Some of them are just messages. But it gives us a little bit of depth. So we don't just show up with our live feed. Here you can look at a little bit of who we are, what we've been through, and we kind of reworked them. But as I was reworking them, I looked at a couple of the messages that were preached in May. And I just wanted to revisit a couple of those things. So in May, we actually spent 2 weeks on Psalm 112. And I don't know if you guys remember March, April, and May, we thought things couldn't get any worse.
in the earth, the tension in the earth, the stress in the earth, the environment that's happening. We didn't think it could be any worse. And we, the first message was called Unshakable Faith. And the second one is called 10 Promises of God for Every Believer. So I just want to revisit Psalm 112, give you guys a couple highlights. If you're struggling to have peace right now, to trust God right now, you can go on our website, dwellatthewell.com, and you can scroll through the podcast. You can find these episodes and hear it. But I just want to give you guys the highlights. So Psalm 112, it starts out, "Shout in celebration of praise to the Lord. Everyone who loves the Lord and delights in him will cherish his words and be blessed beyond expectation. Their descendants will be prosperous and influential. Every generation of godly lovers will experience his favor. Great blessing and wealth fills the house of the wise, for their integrity endures forever." And so verse 4 is where we really want to focus. Now, just so you guys know, for a point of clarity, everyone who loves the Lord. So that's me, that's you, that's most of you guys. Everyone who loves the Lord, this is who this stuff is for. So not just people that graduated from ministry school or have doctorates or people that give a lot of money or people whose lives seem together. It's everyone who loves the Lord. These are promises for them. So in verse 4, even if darkness overtakes them, sunrise brilliance will come bursting through. Because they are gracious to others, so tender and true. Again, for everyone, verse 5, life is good for the one who is generous and charitable, conducting his affairs with honesty and truth. You can weigh your heart and say if that's you. You know, most of you guys are very generous, charitable, and most of you guys are honest and true. At least I think you are. Anyway, so verse 6, their circumstances, everyone who loves the Lord, their circumstances will never shake them, and others will never forget their example. They will not live in fear or dread of what may come. Their hearts are firm, ever secure in faith. Steady and strong, they will not be afraid, but they will calmly face every foe until all the foes go down in defeat. So I just want to remind you of that, because I'm noticing I have to check my own heart. I'm limiting myself to 20 minutes of news a day. I'm limiting it to certain sources of news. Just because there's just this driving us. Somebody tell me how to survive. Somebody tell me what to do. And you have this drive, and we look at all the wrong places to find those answers, you know? And just that's just human nature. So today we're talking about something totally different. Did you guys see my picture here?
Yeah. So,
I'm not the artist. A lady by the name of Jenny Cupp painted this in 2013. The only reason I remember is it's on the back. I led worship at a conference in Wildwood, New Jersey. It was 7 nights. Kat and I have a little prophetic art collection. A lot of times when people paint during worship, we're like, hey, can we have that? She said, absolutely not. You can't have it. And I was informed she never gives art away to anyone or sells it. And then at the end of the conference, she gave it to me. Now, it's been through my home, my children. You guys know some of the situation there. So there's a little bit of, I'll have to get it framed to cover up some of that stuff. But I thought it was really pertinent for today because this is the word that the Lord gave her. She's very prophetic, and she said, hey, we're walking in a storm, all right? And this, you know, for my life at the time, this was awesome. We're out of the boat, we're walking in the storm, and we're actually following the path of Jesus' love that started at the cross out of the storm into the calm water. You know, and I felt like as I pulled this out, actually this morning I pulled it out. Yesterday I found it. And Kat has a lot of them stashed behind dressers and furniture so they stay nice. I had to go plug something in. So I'm under there and I'm like, hey, there's that picture. And I pulled it out and I was like, cool, that's awesome. We're going to talk about that. So today, I want you to keep this concept in mind. We're going to revisit it. But I'm going to be in Hebrews 11 and Judges 11. And we're talking about dealing with our journey, specifically our past. Sometimes it seems like our past can get in the way of our future. You guys have heard like this phrase, your past haunts you. You know, some of us could never run for president.
Hallelujah.
Anyway, I really believe that God wants us to be free of our past in order to move into our future. I shared this with the leader team last week at the leader team meeting. You know, I really thought I was free of my past. I really thought I was free of some of the mindsets that I had in the past. And I was listening to Chris Vallotton talk about your royal identity. And the whole time I'm like, yup, 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 I got this. I totally have this. no longer a slave. I sing it all the time. I say it. I got it. I'm not a slave. I'm a son. You might not be not a slave. You might be a daughter, but either way, that works. And I'm like, I got this. But then there's this worksheet, and I'm going to send you guys that haven't done it home with it so you can look at it. I did this worksheet that Chris Valentin developed. It gauges your behaviors to see if you're acting like a son or a daughter instead of the term he uses, a pauper or a slave. It gauges your actions. So I took it, and out of a possible 250 points, I scored around 50. So I thought, whoa, what's going on here? And like I said, it's weighing out my actions and my thought processes, not what I say is true. And so it was really a reality check, because I want us to be the kind of church that finds the broken, the lonely, the addict, the hurting, and helps them transition from slave into sonship or daughtership. That's what we want to be. And if I don't get it, and you don't get it, how can we help other people get it? So we have to get it. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about it today. But one thing that Chris said when he was talking was his stepdads trained him to be a servant, not a son. If you know anything about his story, he's had multiple stepdads. And some of you might have familiar family situations where you were devalued in your home by your family. And it's hard to make the transition to valuable in the way God values you. You know, and as I processed my life before the Lord, I was blessed to have a pretty nice family environment growing up. But there were other times, other situations in my life where people devalued me. And I carried that lower than my value with me out of those situations. So today I want to take a look at the life of Jephthah, well-known Bible character that he is. I want to break it down a bit, look at some of the things that happened to him and some of the things that he did through a lot of messed up situations. So he ended up in Hebrews chapter 11, which is where we're going to start. Now this is known, we're going to do a lot of scripture today, guys. Hang in there. But it's just Hebrews 11 and Judges 11. So if you fall behind, you can catch up on your own. Hebrews 11, I'm going to start off in the New King James Version. And this is the faith chapter. This is the faith chapter. We call this the Hall of Faith. It lists all the great people that had faith in the Old Testament. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And I'm going to start reading in verse 11. Now faith is the substance. I'm sorry, that's verse 1. Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. By it, the elders obtained a good testimony. So by elders, he's talking about the people that went before him. And by good testimony, we know what a good testimony is. That's a good life story. Right? That's a good story about you and your life. And by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen are not made by things which are visible. And then it says, by faith Abel offered up to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. I'm going to be jumping around a little. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away and he did not see death. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark, saving his household. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, he went out, and not knowing where he was going. Verse 11, by faith Sarah also received strength to conceive. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having seen the promises, but having seen them afar off. Were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed them, as they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Verse 14, but those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind the country which they had come out of, there would have been opportunity to return. Now, I just want to jump on that verse a minute. All right, it's not part of the message today, but here you have Abraham moving out of the country that's his homeland, going to the promised land, going to the land that the Lord had. And he has this word that he's going to have this, be the father of many nations and this multitudes of descendants. And so he's moving out. He has no children at the time. And it says in verse 15, if he had called to mind the country from which they, him and his wives, came out of, they would have had opportunity to return. And I feel like, you know, we're at a crucial time, and I just want to help you guys and myself kind of gauge our thinking, because we've transitioned from one season to the next. And this season is different. And there's things about this season and this place and the people that are here moving forward that are exciting. And then there's things about the last season that was awesome. And the people that maybe didn't come with us to the next season have chosen to go other places. There's things about that that make us a little sad. And we wish they were still here. We want God's best for them. And maybe that is somewhere else where they've decided to be. But here's the thing. If we call to mind the season that we came out of, we just have the opportunity to return. You can go find a similar season somewhere else. But what we want to do is, by faith, step out into the promised land for us and follow God. You can love that season. I love that season. I love the people of that season. I get excited when I see them walking their dog down the road. I stop the car and I'm happy, you know? And then my dog tries to kill their dog and it's sad. And it's just the way life is happening right now. But so just keep that in mind. We're like, you know, there was a really awesome, thriving period in the old season. And I feel like the Lord's going to take us into something similar and even into the next thing. But we just have to have the mindset to keep our eyes on where we're going, learn from what happened back there, have a good time with that, but not try to go back to that. Amen. You know, it's really interesting when you operate, and you can talk to Bob about this, or Dave would know about this too. When you operate kind of in the pastoral role or the ministry role, you can build something yourself, and you can decide what it's like. Mm-hmm. But it's better to ask Jesus what he's building and help. You know, so just keep that in mind. All right, so still in the faith chapter, verse 17, by faith Abraham, verse 20, by faith Isaac. By faith Jacob, by faith Joseph, by faith Moses, by faith they passed through, verse 29, I jumped a lot of verses. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, who didn't have faith, attempting to do so, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell. By whose faith? That was actually everybody. Everybody marched around. And by faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. So I just wanted to show you this. In other translations, it doesn't just say by faith. So I'm going to read a little bit of what we just read. Verse 4, faith moved Abel. Verse 5, faith lifted Enoch. Verse 7, faith opened Noah's heart. Verse 8, faith motivated Abraham to obey God's call. Verse 17, faith operated powerfully in Abraham. Verse 19, I love this. Abraham's faith made it logical to him that God could raise Isaac from the dead. How cool is that when we want to talk about, hey, we want to see God do awesome things on the earth? Faith makes it logical. All right, 20, verse 20. The power of faith prompted Isaac to impart blessings to his son. 21, Jacob worshipped in faith reality. Verse 22, faith inspired Joseph and opened his eyes to see the future. Verse 23, faith prompted the parents of Moses at his birth to hide him. Verse 24, faith enabled Moses to choose God's will. Verse 29, faith opened a way for the Hebrews to cross the Red Sea. Verse 30, faith pulled down Jericho's walls. Verse 31, faith provided a way of escape for Rahab. So all this, I do all this chapter to show you this, and so you can see this Jephthah guy, where he shows up in the Bible. So in this, it says right here, the title of the heading in the chapter, and I've switched over to the Passion Translation at this time. The title of the section is More Faith Champions, verse 32. And what more could I say to convince you? For there is not enough time to tell you of the faith of Gideon. I'm going to stop there for a second. Gideon, you guys know the story. Angel shows up. Says, hey, greetings, mighty man of valor. And he's like, who, me? And he says, hey, you're going to deliver Israel. And he's like, I'm the smallest guy from the smallest house in the smallest clan. He's not like this big faith guy, right? Then after angels, did I say an angel showed up? Mm-hmm. So the angel shows up And he has the word of the Lord from the angel. He says, give me a sign, so let me prepare for you a meal. And the angel makes the meal burn up like that. Burn up. Should have brought fireworks to throw. Anyway, the angel makes the meal burn up. So then, did I say there was an angel there? I'm sorry. Gideon baffles me, because then he has to take the sheep's wool, the fleece, and put it in the grass. And if the grass is wet and the fleece is dry, then it's God. And if the grass is, the fleece is wet, and he does it twice. So really, Gideon, ending up in the More Faith Champions verse, okay? Next guy in the More Faith Champions verse, Barak. Anybody know who that is? Of course you don't. Do you know why you don't know? Because Deborah the prophet came to him and said, hey, the Lord's going to use you to deliver Israel from its enemies. You're going to lead the army. And he said, well, I'm only going to go if you go with me. And she says to him, and you can read this in your Bible. It's in everyone's Bible, I think. Well, no one's going to remember who you are because I'm going to go. But he's right here in the More Champions of Faith. And then you have Samson. Samson, I'm not even going to talk about Samson. You guys know Samson. Did some cool things. You know, everybody thinks it's cool. Some of the things he did some things that were like, dude, don't do that. All right. Next guy, Jephthah. We'll get into him in a second. David. Now, we know David was awesome, but we know David had struggles. You know, we know things happened in David's life. You know, and then Samuel. And then it says, and the prophets. So, Samuel, you know, I was racking my brain. What's going on with Samuel? Where could he have a deficiency? Because everybody else seemed to have one. Look at me. I'm such a nice guy. I'm looking for the bad in the people in the Bible. Anyway, but here's the thing I came up with. So, Samuel's going to anoint and mentor Saul to be king. And I want to tell you, when you pour into somebody and you see their gifting and you want them to walk into it and they're consistently blowing it, you feel like a failure. I'm not saying that Samuel was hung up on that, but I'm saying there was the temptation of that. You know? All right. So, verse 33. Through faith's power, they conquered kingdoms, established true justice, their faith fashioned onto their promises, and pulled them into reality. Just apply that to yourself. So here you are. You could be put in this verse. You know your hang-ups. And then it says, their faith. So your faith should fasten onto your promises and pull them into reality. It was faith that shut the mouths of the lions, put out the power of a raging fire, caused many to escape certain death by the sword. In their weakness, their faith imparted power to make them strong. Faith sparked courage within them to become mighty warriors in battle, pulling armies from another realm into their battle array. Faith-filled women saw their dead raised in resurrection power. So we're going to jump over and talk about Jephthah. It's Judges 11. And I'm going to read just the first section, and then we're going to talk for a second about Jephthah. And I, again, keep in mind how what I was saying. I'm realizing now that my actions maybe don't line up with the fact that I'm a son and no longer a slave, that I came out of being a slave to sin into a son of God and how I act on the earth. And so keep this in mind when you think about Jephthah. So it says, Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty warrior. His father was Gilead. His mother was a prostitute. Gilead's wife also bore him sons. And when they were grown up, they drove Jephthah away. You're not going to have any inheritance in our family, they said, because you're the son of another woman. So Jephthah fled from his brothers and settled in the land of Tob, where a gang of scoundrels gathered around him and followed him. So, what do we know about Jephthah? What's the first thing it says about him? He's a mighty warrior? Okay, so Jephthah, guys, makeshift whiteboard. Jephthah. He was a mighty warrior. What else do we know about him?
He was a
son of a prostitute. So I'm going to write his mom was a prostitute. You guys are going to sure be able to see this. All right. What else do we know about him? Who's got the text in front of him?
His brothers drove him away.
I'm going to write his brothers don't like him. I'm going to go ahead and make that assumption. What else do we know?
Poor.
What's that?
No inheritance.
Yeah, poor. He's got no inheritance.
scoundrels followed him.
Right. I'm going to write he's a gang leader.
Yeah. He had a posse.
That's the first, it says a gang of scoundrels.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to say he's a gang leader. All right. So there you got your first gang. There we go. All right, he's a gang leader. He's on the run.
Yeah.
All right, he's on the run, and I'm gonna write he's rejected. Anything else? All right, that covers it. I don't have a secret answer. I'm just asking for input. All right. So one thing. Here's a funny thing. You know, he's a mighty warrior, right? So he's a mighty warrior, but his brothers drove him away. So I spent a little time. I like to think about the scripture. This hopefully this doesn't distract you from the message. Brothers and warriors. Just so you know, concept. My brother had a finishing move. It was a roundhouse kick. After taking that roundhouse kick to the face like 3 times, I realized if I shot him in the kidneys when he turned around, the whole thing was disrupted. So I'm just going to say that his brothers knew how to defeat his finishing moves, because they had taken him to the chin a bunch of times. The other day I saw a video. It was hilarious. It was two twins, and they were in their wrestling gear for high school, and they were supposed to wrestle each other. How many of you know that could go on forever because they know each other so well? So when the whistle blew, they rocked paper, scissors. The guy that lost fell down, and the other guy pinned him. So, yeah, all for fun. So look at this. So we know Jephthah. There's a lot of noises in there. He's a mighty warrior. His mom was a prostitute. Oh, his dad. If his mom was a prostitute, what's his dad?
John.
Yeah, I'm going to call him an adulterer. All right, but there's no more room. His dad. His dad has some issues, we'll just say, okay? All right, so, I mean, my life growing up was better than Jephthah's, and I'm sure some of you guys it was too. All right, so look at this. God created Jephthah. He's a mighty warrior. The thing that God put in Jephthah was to be a mighty warrior. All this situation happens in his life to devalue him. And what I find really, really interesting is that this role of a mighty warrior probably really plays out in this gang leader. So this God-given thing that God gave him, the world, his family, all these things devalued him. He ended up here in that role. So just keep that in mind as you look at your own life. So here's the thing, the way that God creates, in the beginning we know God created everything, but what God does right now is if he wants something on the earth, he doesn't just create it, he creates people to build or do it. Good example from the scripture, God wants a temple, he made a David, he told David to stock the resources, he told David not to build it. Then he made a Solomon, and Solomon built the temple. You know, God wants to deliver his people from slavery. He makes a Moses. You guys know the story of Moses. Moses was supposed to be killed upon birth, put in a basket, or hid by his parents for 3 months, put in a basket, found by the right person. You know, so God wanted his people delivered. He creates a Moses. God needs an ark. He creates a Noah. God wants a church in Satterton, so he creates a Ted and a Joyce and a me and a you so that we can end up here. You know, God wants to deliver Gilead from the Ammonites, like we're going to read in the story. He creates a Jephthah, a mighty warrior. So sometime later, verse 4, Judges chapter 11, when the Ammonites were fighting against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob. Come, they said, be our commander so we can fight the Ammonites.
He was a pretty good gang leader.
Well, they knew he was a mighty warrior when they sent him away. And Jephthah said to them, verse 7, didn't you hate me and drive me away from my father's house? Why do you come to me now when you're in trouble? And the elders of Gilead said to him, nevertheless, we are turning to you now. Come with us and fight the Ammonites, and you will be head over all of Gilead. So Jephthah answered, verse 9, suppose you take me back and I fight the Ammonites, and the Lord gives them to me. Will I really be your head? And the elders replied, the Lord is our witness. We will certainly do as you say. So Jephthah went to the elders of Gilead, and they made him head and commander over them. And he repeated all his words before the Lord at Mitzpah. So, you know, that's just the last verse is just a way of saying he talked to the Lord about it. And so this is the interesting part of the story. They come to him, they need him. I'm looking at my awesome whiteboard. They come to him and they need him. And it's like he's saying, if I do this, will you restore my value? And he's like almost brokering a deal. They said, hey, if you come and do this, we'll make you a leader. And he's like, well, if I do this, will you make me a leader? And they're like, yeah, we will. And then he talks to the Lord about it. So he is a mighty warrior. They know this, so they wouldn't be asking for his help. But maybe I'm reading through the lines a little bit much here. But I want to encourage you, stop waiting for people to say you're valuable to do the thing you were created to do. God determines your value, not people. We've been talking about John 3:16 and the Amplified. Amplified Bible, all it is Greek words have a lot of multiple meanings, just like English words. We don't understand those multiple meanings because we don't speak Greek. So the Amplified adds them in little brackets. And John 3:16 in the Amplified is, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes and trusts in him as Savior shall not perish but have eternal life. You know, and this is what's true, and we need to believe this for ourselves. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized us that he gave his Son. I've said it before, I will come and help you. I will come and try to save you. If I know it's going to cost me my Son, you may be out of luck. God dearly loved and prized you that he was willing to risk his Son. So the leaders of the region, they went to get Jephthah to save him. How do you think his brothers who drove him away felt about this? The text isn't clear, but I would say they didn't want him around. I mean, I think he was driven away because it was a reminder of stupid things their dad did.
Or jealousy
because he was a mighty warrior. But I would say that when he came back, they were probably embarrassed. You know, the whole thing that they took care of is coming up again. You know, dad slept with a prostitute. We got a brother. There isn't a portion in the story, there isn't a part of the story in the Bible that says the people who devalued him, his brothers, came and hugged him and said, hey, will you forgive us? Will you forgive us and you come and be our leader? That didn't happen. He probably had to move forward without that. His brothers probably didn't even look at him when they were in the battle, you know? And so stop waiting for people to say you're valuable to do the thing you were created to do. God determines your value, not people. We need to stop trying to prove our value to people who don't value us. All right, so we're going to continue with the story of Jephthah. Sorry, I should have gave him a nickname. All right, and Jep sent messengers to the king of the Ammonites saying, you guys good with that for now?
Yeah,
it's a mouthful. The king of the Ammonites, what have you to do with me that you come against me to fight my land? And I love this. They make him the leader. All of a sudden, it's his land. Why are you doing this? You know, his brothers live on it, you know? And the Ammonite king, and I'm only reading this section because I think it's pertinent to the world today. The Ammonite kings replied to the messengers of Jephthah, because Israel took my land. And in the Amplified Bible, right after that, it says, which was not true. When they came out of Egypt 300 years before, from Arnon, even Jabbok, and to the Jordan, now therefore restore those lands. And Jephthah sent messengers again to the king of the Ammonites and said to him, thus says Jephthah, Israel did not take the land of Moab or the land of the Ammonites. But when Israel came up out of Egypt, they walked through the wilderness to the Red Sea and came to Kadesh. And Israel sent messengers to the king of Edom saying, let us pray, pass through your land. Let us, we pray, pass through your land. But the king of Edom would not listen. Also, they sent to the king of Moab, but he would not consent. So Israel remained at Kadesh. So there's another 12 verses about, hey, we didn't take this land that we have from you. We took it from other people. We're not giving it to you. And you can read that on your own. So we're going to pick up the story. And again, pertinent, because you got a king sending a letter, and that letter's not true. You got to know what's true, and you got to be able to say, this is what's true. You know, Jephthah, you know, you got to ask, how did he know that? Or did they all know that? You know, they knew their history, they knew their past, they knew where they came from. You know, maybe they read their constitution. Anyway, Judges chapter 11, verse 29. And the Spirit of the Lord came on Jephthah. Everybody heard that? Nobody missed it? The Spirit of the Lord came on Jephthah. So, we're going to go ahead and say that means God is with him. He's received the Spirit of the Lord on him. There's an anointing to do what he's asked to do, to go into battle and to stop all this nonsense. So he crossed Gilead and Manasseh, passed through Mitzpah and Gilead, and from there he advanced against the Ammonites. So the Spirit of the Lord was on him. He was doing what he was created to do. Then he does something really silly, or at least I think it's silly, and I think it has a lot to do with him being broken and devalued. He makes a deal with God. And maybe that's all of us. Maybe we're on our way to do what God created us for. God's Spirit is in us, and yet we don't see ourselves the way God does, so we try to sweeten the deal for God. You know, and it's like with some kind of sacrifice. You know, now we don't put lambs and sheep on altars anymore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. We sing with electric guitars and fun stuff like that now. Much better. You know, but you see this all the time with people. It's like they walk through the life. They know they're called to be a mighty whatever it is they're called to do. People devalue them, and then they go and they take whatever they're gifted to do, and they try to negotiate a deal with people and with God so they can do it. You know, I talked to Bob about this earlier this week. I went through my phone, and I just had so many numbers of people that I networked with. And I was like, I don't want to network. And I just started to remove them. Like, you're a big, powerful, well-known person, and I don't want to walk out what God has for me because I know you. Now, they all can still call me. I didn't call them up and say, hey, burn my bridges, brother. I just took away my ability to try to create something apart from what God was doing. All right. So, and Jephthah, verse 30, made a vow to the Lord, saying, if you give the Ammonites into my hands, whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me when I return in triumph from the Ammonites will be the Lord's, and I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering. All right. So he's got the Spirit of the Lord on him. He's anointed to do it. He's a mighty warrior. He's going to do it, and he does this thing where he tries to sweeten the pot for God. And so here's the deal. You have to know this. They are not allowed by the law that is previous to this, the law that came through Moses, they are not allowed to burn people as sacrifices to God. Just so you know. Okay? You can read the text. There's a lot of, as a sacrifice to God, I'm going to treat that thing as something sacrificed to the Lord. You know, he uses the term burn on the altar because I think he's hoping like a chicken comes out to greet him, or a goat, or a lamb. And so they're not allowed to do that. So verse 34, what happens? Jephthah goes out, defeats the Ammonites. He's returning in triumph. And when Jephthah came to Mitzpah, to his home, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels, the tambourine. Told you it was evil. I'm sorry. And dances. And she was a child. She was his only child. Besides her, he neither had son nor daughter. And when he saw her, he tore his clothes. Alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low. And you were the cause of great trouble for me. For I have opened my vow in a vow to the Lord, and I cannot take it back. You know, you can read the rest of this on your own. But it's more likely that Jephthah set his daughter apart before the Lord, meaning that she could never marry or have children. Because when she says, Father, give me time to grieve this, you know, she's talking about that. And she spends 40 days walking through the mountains with her friends weeping. So it's more like his vow made his daughter a nun than burn on the offer. So the lessons for us from this story, you say Jephthah 100 times. The lessons for us from this story, 4 quick points and I'll let you go. Famous last words, right? Point number 1, someone or some situation in our lives has tried to train us to be slaves, not sons and daughters. Could be the kids that made fun of you in the third grade. Could be your own parents, your own siblings. Could be churches. You know, churches, they're not they overlook people a lot, and it's okay. I mean, it's not okay, but it happens. People feel overlooked. Point number two, our value is determined by God, not people. So number one, someone or some situation in our lives has trained us to devalue ourselves, to be slaves, not sons and daughters. Number two, our value is determined by God, not people. Number three, we need to stop waiting for people to value what God created us to do and do it anyway. Number four, we don't need to make deals with God because the only thing he wants from us is us. We don't need to sweeten the pot with additional sacrifice. So how do we respond to this message? I'd like to send you guys that haven't done it. I know the leaders have done it. I'm going to send you home with the Princes and Paupers worksheet. It's just assessing your behavior if you're living like a son or a daughter. We need to act like sons and daughters if we want to help people become sons and daughters. So as we close, I want to pray for everyone. If you have trouble valuing yourself because you've been devalued in life, the solution is really to look at the cross. It really is. Oh, I need the other side of this. But this kind of looks like a cross. All right. The solution is really to look at the cross. I mean, it's that love of God, that evidence of the love of God for you that should determine your value, that Jesus died for you because, like I said in the Amplified Bible, John 3:16, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world, that includes you, that he gave his only one and only begotten Son, so whoever believes and trusts in him as Savior shall not perish but have eternal life. So this should be the standard of your value, the love of Jesus for you on the cross. That's really how valuable you are to God. So if you haven't made a decision to give your life to Jesus, we'd love to pray for you and help you do that. I'll be up here after the service if anyone wants to talk or pray about anything. The rest of you, feel free to hang out in fellowship. Go ahead and stand up. I want to pray for you guys. So, Father, we pray that we would value ourselves the way that you value us. Lord, that we would not wait for people to value us to do the things that you called us to do. We would not wait for people to value the things that you called us to do. We would be people of action. We want to be people that stop looking to other people for their value. And we want to do what we were created to do anyway. So, Father, give us eyes to see what you see. Give us eyes to see how you see. You know, and we talked about it. I sang it out during worship, and we talked about it a little bit in the beginning. It's like God sees your problem, and he sees a miracle. Like, you see your problem, God sees a miracle. You see a seed, and God sees a harvest. You see your life broken, and God sees it restored and thriving. So, Father, we want to live life the way that you see us. We want to be kings and priests on the earth, sons and daughters, no longer slaves. And so, Father, we just pray for the people of this community, Lord, that you would begin to prepare their hearts, Lord, that you would help us to bump into them so we could help them make that transition as well. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, guys, have a great week.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm taking the well, I'm taking the well right here. I'm taking the well in the valley of my weeping.